Clark County, Missouri. Clark. 2 miles west of Fairmont at a Mr. Miller's. A house in a lot. Memphis. A lane. Within 3 miles of the Iowa line. A bottom near a big well. A union town. Soap Creek Bottom near a bridge. This is a list of places that Ruth Shackelford wrote about from May 1st to 7th in 1865. I'm Jen Globius, and this is the Halanaki Deep Dive, a podcast about the process of mapping and analysis for historical and archaeological research using open source tools. In this episode, I'm going to take a little bit of a step back and discuss the concept of deep mapping as part of geography, and why I think the concept will be useful for how I map the Shackelford's journeys in 1865 and 1868. Let's dive in. So, thanks for putting up with a 3 week hiatus instead of 2 weeks as usual. I'm back from the excavation I was working on in Greece at a late Bronze Age site called Iklina, which is amazing. It was great to see old friends and work with them and work out in the sun. And part of what I miss from not being in an academic department anymore is the sense of collaboration and generating ideas with colleagues. And that's something I was able to do while on the Iklina excavation. One of my new colleagues and new friends from the excavation is Alexandra, who's our new database specialist. And she's also a GIS person, a mapping person. And when I told her about this project with the Shackelford's journeys, she brought up this concept of deep mapping, which is something I had heard mentioned before, but I hadn't really studied it or looked at it in any depth. But based on her encouragement, I've looked more into it since coming back, and it really fits well for what I was already planning to do looking at mapping the Shackelford's journeys. But to understand deep mapping, let's start a little bit back with the concepts of space and place in geography. And actually, I'm going to start with what geography itself means. So it's not the memorization of state capitals or anything like that. If we break the word geography down to its very smallest bits and look at the Greek roots of the words, we go with geo, which means earth, Gaia. And then graphe, which means written down or to write down. And the Greek verb grapheo is still the same, to write down, to write things. So we can think of geography as a graphic of the earth, which I think pretty well describes maps. It's an illustration, a graphic of places on the earth. And so geography is most often thought of as the study of spatial relationships, so something that you can see on a map. And these spatial relationships might be of locations, peoples, environmental features, or the relationships between any of these, anything that could be represented on a map. What we see on maps, however, are spaces, which are how locations, peoples, things, and events relate to each other spatially. So how far away from each other are they? Is there a cluster someplace? Things like that. Some maps, now that we can animate maps easily, they also can include the element of times. You've probably seen maps that show like warming temperatures or hurricane tracks through time, and you can see differences temporally as well. And that's important for a historical project like this one with the Shackelfords, where tracing their paths through 1865 and then 1868 as well. In contrast with spaces, in our daily lives, we interact with places or locations that we attach meaning to. So as we travel through the world, we attach meaning to locations that's individual to us. So, for example, the reservoir near my house, some other people might see it as, hey, that's just the source of water, my drinking water. But I also see it as a place where I go to jog sometimes. I go to take a walk and look at the geese and get hissed at by them so I don't disturb their goslings. I might see deer there. So I attach different meanings to that reservoir that someone else might, who doesn't experience it in the same way. And that's what makes places. A place is something that has meaning attached to it, and it's individual to a person. And I would say it's even individual to a person at a specific point of time. The way that I see the reservoir now may not be the way that I see it in 5 years or even 5 weeks. So in the introduction to this episode, I read a list of places that Ruth Shackelford mentioned in her entries between May 1st and 7th in 1865. And these are places that had meaning to her as she wrote about them. They were either places they passed through, different towns, or places they camped for the night or mentioned in some other way, like 3 miles from the Iowa line is like some sort of mention. I've talked in the past about how I would like to locate these places spatially on a map, but it's very difficult since some of these places are very vague, such as a house and a lot, which describes one of their campsites. Yet each of these places had meaning, and it continues to have some sort of meaning based on Ruth's diary, based on her words and the context in which she mentioned them. And so maybe you can use this to differentiate between spaces and places. So many of these, like the towns, are spaces. They can be located easily on a map, and they're also a place because Ruth Shackelford attached meaning to them, and then people today and through time have attached meaning to it as well. But some of the places, hopefully I'll be able to locate them spatially, but I don't know, and we'll see. But they still have meaning attached to them. And this meaning, ways that we can understand it is through memory, sounds, and then whatever we see or perceive about different places. But all these other things that make a location into a place, this memory and sounds and things, are usually not part of maps, which brings us to deep maps. So the concept of a deep map really started to gain traction in 1991 with the publication of William Least Heat Moon's book, Prairie Earth, where he walked across and layered memories and information about Chase County, Kansas. And there are other examples of this, and I'll link to a few interesting ones in the show notes. But really, to create a deep map means that you have to add layers of information, hopefully multimedia if possible. So sounds, videos, or just information of different sorts, like geological layers, soil layers, vegetation at different times, maps from different periods, anything you can find. And of course, pictures, anything that will help depict the place and people, objects, and animals in that place. And the act of creating a deep map is an act of engaging with immersing yourself into that place. So it's an act of exploration. And so it may not result in a specific product at the end, but often it is. And it's an ongoing process, an ongoing thing. So here's an example of how a deep map could differ from a regular map. And this comes from when my parents came to visit me in February 2020, right before everything locked down. While they were visiting, my father and I were talking about family history, and he was telling me stories about his grandparents and their ranch in South Dakota, and I pulled up the Google Maps of the area. So that's a regular map of the area. And we were looking at this map together, and my father would point out an area and tell me a story such as like, okay, this is where the old ranch house was before they moved it across the river. Or this is the place where his grandfather, my great grandfather, had broken down one time. And he told me this whole story about having to fix this problem. And so it would be possible in the future to create a deep map of the ranch and link it with things such as put a location indicated by my father and then record audio of him telling the story of it and then link it to that place, as well as adding like current photos, any older photos, any other information that might give context to what was going on there. So my intention when I started this project was to produce individual maps of the Shackelford's routes using a geographic information system, a GIS. And this is still something I intend to do. I'm going to do this. This is going to be one product. But a GIS can contain many layers of information, including multimedia or links to different multimedia. But to make it truly valuable, to make it valuable to people other than myself, really, I would need to make it public in some way. So put it on a website, make it so that other people can look at things. Because the ways that I perceive information are not the same way that you, the listener, would perceive information. Because all of us, our brains work slightly differently. The things that we focus on, the things that we know, and that we bring into a project. Some of the earlier episodes of this podcast have already tended towards deep mapping. I've brought in information when I was trying to figure out where Dogtown and Dobie were in the 1865 diary. And then later when I was looking up information about Horsehead Crossing on the Pecos River. And then especially the Center Mills, Texas episodes where I included information from the history of the county and different accounts. And those explorations of locations in more depth, as long as I add those things into this deep map, it adds into information and what we can actually figure out what was going on and understanding of the Shackelford's experiences. And especially, there's so much I've looked up that I haven't been able to share with you in a podcast. And in an audio format, there's many things that are better seen than listened to. So making a deep map that's publicly available is definitely on my to-do list because it'll allow you, the listener, to explore the Shackelford's journeys in a way that you can't do entirely just through the podcast. And also framing this project as a deep map will help me determine which things I would like to include. So I've already included a few things. I want to look at Native territories is one thing I mean to add into the deep map, something I've been listing off for many of the episodes. I've also had this dream of going on a Shackelford road trip where I follow their routes as best I can. And on this trip, I could take pictures and record audio and my impressions and maybe take video and then include those onto the deep map so that other people can experience it, even if they can't themselves go on a Shackelford road trip. And in addition, I'm already planning to add events and places near their trails that'll help provide context to their journey. So all of this fits in with this concept of a deep map. So it all works in with what I was planning to do, but it helps give me a little bit of focus to say that the framework is a deep map. So let's talk a little bit about mapping progress. Still in progress is georeferencing the public land survey plat maps for Wyoming and Utah. I've worked on those a little bit, and I'll continue working on them. I'll also need to georeference a few other historic maps for the routes, so from southern Utah into California and then across Texas as well, and digitize probable routes, so especially the stage routes for 1865, since it seems like the Shackelfords were following the stage routes, although I'll keep an eye out and look at other roads that I see on the maps in case they weren't completely just following those routes. And then, of course, I'm going to keep exploring the possibilities of deep mapping as we go. So to sum up, I'm back from my excavation vacation and with a slightly new perspective. So framing this project of mapping the Shackelford's journeys in 1865 and 1868 as a deep map, so to provide meaning, which will help me stay focused. And it also encourages me to make it public for other people to experience and immerse themselves into. And so I'm looking into, in the future, creating this map and making it available on the internet, on the web. But for next time, I'm going to start giving context to some of the people on the Shackelford's journey, so research into them. And I will be starting with Ruth Shackelford herself in the next episode. Thanks for listening. Email questions or comments to deepdive@helenaki.com or ask them on the Helenaki Deep Dive Facebook page. Show notes with links to resources mentioned in this episode are available at helenaki.com. That's helonaki.com. You can also find ways to support the show, now including merch, such as t-shirts, mugs, and stickers with the Helenaki Deep Dive logo, at helenaki.com/support. My thanks to Patreon supporter at the Geospatial Analyst level, Leah Varel. Your support keeps the Helenaki Deep Dive going. The Helenaki Deep Dive is written and produced by me, Jen Globius of the Helenaki. The theme music is Deep Ocean Instrumental by Dan O of danosongs.com. Thanks for listening.